Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 28, stanzas 1 through 4. When in the night I meditate on mercies multiplied, my grateful heart inspires my tongue to bless the Lord my guide. 1 through 4 of Psalter 28.
Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 14, verse 1 through 11. But first we read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat Mark 14 from verse 1 through 11. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whenever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad, and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Thus far.
Thank you. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing God, who dwellest between the cherubims, who art enthroned in thy glory, where thou dost receive honor, and by the mouths of those that have been redeemed by thee, and by the mouths of the angels, and by all their actions, when they bow before thee day and night, and when they submit themselves unto thee in perfection, when they honor and serve and glorify thee with all their heart and might and soul and spirit. O thou knowest also thy people here below, for there is a little beginning of that obedience also living within their hearts. Oh, it must become so with each and every one of us, or we shall end in an eternal damnation. Lord, wilt thou cause thy people more and more to yearn for thee, that the sorrows of this life, that the vanity of this life, that the sin of their hearts, and may drive them more and more to long to be with thee, which is far better. But thou knowest that by nature it is so different, because our hearts cleave to all that is of the flesh. We cleave in a natural way to one another, but also to all that is in this world. And we then have so little desire to depart and to be with thee, O Lord, that our hearts and our minds may be more fixed upon thee, as thou art in thy glory, as thou art upon thy throne, as thou dost guide each and everything in this world, guiding all things in the way of thy providence, of thy government, to a certain and determinate end, which will be to the overthrow of the kingdom of Satan, and it will be to the bringing in of thy kingdom, the last one of that 144,000 whose names are written in thy book. Oh, that they may also be in the midst of us, for we also are brought by thee under thy word, and so thou wilt do for all those that are written in thy book. Thou wilt bring thy word to them, or thou wilt bring them unto thy word. And thus that first step that is already accomplished for each and every one of us and of our dear children, oh, give us then, when we may behold thy great goodness, that we may also be given to hope in thee and in thy word. When we also, with our children, are brought under the means, and when we are baptized, when the sign of thy covenant in the way of thy providence is placed upon us, and when we may experience ourselves in an outward way to be under the means and to be in the way in which thou convertest thy people, oh, that it may give young and old together a hope and an expectation that who can tell, that it may be that also I may be converted unto the Lord. Oh, that we may thus be given to storm thy throne of grace, that thou would also give to us the substance, that we would not perish with the mere form, with an outward religion, but miss thee and thy dear Son, the love of thee within our heart, the grace of thee shed abroad to take away all of our many sins. Lord, wilt thou open our poor blind eyes, the law of thee that has been read unto us already in this morning hour, commandment after commandment. And then who can put his hand into his own bosom and take it out clean? For before thee we are wounds and we are bruises and we are putrefying sores. Oh, show it also unto us, O Lord, that our hearts may be smitten within ourselves, that we may cry out with him of old, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Encourage thy children, for they are often despondent in the midst of the strife. And thou knowest that it is a warfare, and it is a church militant. One day it shall be a church triumphant. Oh, then every sin which now grieves their heart shall be put away. Oh, then they shall be above all the strife. And then there shall be no sorrow anymore, for there shall be no sin to grieve their heart. Oh, that thou may encourage them also then in the midst of the strife, that there will come an end to this. Oh, that thou would show unto them that there is also within them another part, a part that has been born of thee, a part that hates iniquity, and that loves the Lord, and that desires to be rid of all that offends thee. Oh, wilt thou encourage them then in the midst of that warfare, and wilt thou cause them to receive the instruction from thee to teach their hands to war and their fingers to fight. And look upon all of our young people. Oh, do give to them in the days of their youth that holy jealousy that may long for thee and thy church and thy house, that they may desire with the sparrows to make their place by thine altars, and that they may be near unto thee to receive from thee instruction from above. Give them to feel the emptiness of this life while they are still so very young. Oh, when the love of thee will be shed abroad in their young hearts, and then indeed they shall be spoiled for the world. And Satan will desire still to have them, but thou wilt overcome all the wiles of the devil. Oh, that thou may remember all that have strayed away, those that have no desire to be among us anymore, those that have left thy truth. Wilt thou supply for all the widows, widowers, and orphans, all that are afflicted and sick, those that are old, and those that have difficulties that are known unto thee, a body which does break down and shows the effects more and more of the consequences of sin. Oh, that sin also then may be brought into the foreground, that we may be given daily more and more to see the cause, that it may become our grief, that we may mourn, that we may cry to thee, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago, and also even of this very day. Do look upon all thy servants, strengthen them, increase their numbers. And wilt thou give thy word free course in the midst both of the established churches and also in the places where the missionaries are going forth many times in dangers and that are not experienced by us, but they are known to Thee. Bring Thy word to the ends of the world. Increase Thy kingdom. Remember all those that suffer from addictions. Wilt Thou give them to come close to Thee, that they may receive strength from above, that they may be able to stand with Thee. For from our own side, then it is impossible. Lord, wilt Thou look upon all that are in the prisons? Wilt Thou give true repentance? And wilt Thou turn again with a hope and an expectation to the true and the living God who has sent His only begotten Son into this world that He may seek and save that which was lost? Wilt Thou give Thy church meditation upon in the weeks wherein we do dwell upon the sufferings of Thine only begotten Son? Lord, then it is from our side a mystery that is above and beyond our comprehension. Thou art not to be understood, but Thou art to be worshipped, and Thou wilt be adored by all those who will come by Thy Spirit to know the cause of their wretchedness. Wilt Thou reveal Thyself then unto those who cannot see the way, that Thou may show to them, that Thou may speak unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do give unto us what we need in this morning hour, to bring Thy word with understanding, for the mind of young and old together. But may it be also sanctified by Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, to whom else can we go but unto Thee? Oh, that Thou may take then of Thy word in this morning, and when it would be just one little word here or there, that may enter into the heart of this one or that one on our journey to a great eternity, and then this day, by Thy power, shall never be forgotten. Wilt Thou then cause Thy glory to shine forth, that the angels in heaven may in this day rejoice, when one sinner may repent? Help us, Lord, be among us feelingly and believingly for the sake of Thine own dear Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 48, stanzas 1 through 4. All ye that fear Jehovah's name, His glory tell, His praise proclaim. Ye children of His chosen race, stand ye in awe before His face. Stand ye in awe before His face. The last collection today is for our school, Psalter 48, 1 through 4. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour you can find in that portion of God's word which was which was read to you. Mark 14, and thereof the third verse. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And also the context, those are the words of our text. We see in this text and its context a threefold meaning of the anointing of Christ. First, Mary's intention. Second, Judas's occasion. And third, God's purpose. Thus, a threefold meaning of the anointing of Christ. First, Mary's intention. Second, Judas's occasion. And third, God's purpose. We read, congregation, in our text about Bethany and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. What do we know about Bethany? We read also this history in the Gospel according to John. And he writes, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Thus, Bethany. Bethany is a place that has become famous. All of the Jews, they know very well when you would speak to them about Bethany, what has happened in Bethany. Their children, young people, when we would mention to you in New York City, the Twin Towers, and then I need say no more. Because then you are all well aware of this place. And it has become, in a sense, famous for the thing which has taken place there. And now also that is so in Bethany. Bethany has been a place where the power of Christ has been experienced. That is the place where a man has been raised from the dead, who has lain 4 days already in the grave. Do you also have such a place? Is there somewhere, perhaps in the house of God, here in this world, a time, a place, maybe, as you have read God's word in your own home, a place where the power of the Lord has been experienced, and that you cannot easily forget this place. So it was of this place, Bethany. And now the Lord Jesus, we read, he comes from Ephraim. He is coming from Ephraim to Bethany. And why was the Lord Jesus in Ephraim? Well, Ephraim, that was, we read, a small town that was close to the wilderness. And why was the Lord Jesus near unto the wilderness? Well, he has gone there Why? Because more and more the Jews, they are seeking to kill him. Does the Lord Jesus not want to be slain? Or we will see that it is otherwise. But the time for the Lord Jesus to die is not yet come. And so the Lord Jesus, he is going to this more remote place, and he is, as it were, for the time hiding himself from these Jews. But when the Lord Jesus knows that his time is come, then the Lord Jesus is himself going forward. He is going forth willingly. There is no one that needs to come to Ephraim and take him from that place. No, he has indeed set his face steadfastly towards Jerusalem. He knows wherefore he has come into this world. And he is now, when the time is come, he is now going forward unto his own suffering and death. It is different with his disciples. His disciples, we know, they are growing more and more fearful. Where does the Lord Jesus go first? He goes to Bethany. Well, Bethany is that place where his friends do dwell. That was necessary also for the Lord Jesus. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, he was man. He was as you and I. Even though he was divine, he had a true human nature. And then he had also friends. It was good for him before that he went off to suffer, and that he is with his friends. But it was not only and in the first place for himself, but it was also for his friends themselves, because there is something coming for them. And he even warns them here, because here he is speaking to them about his burial. Thus, the Lord Jesus, before that he goes to suffer, and before this time, this difficult time is coming for his disciples, then the Lord is going to comfort his disciples. He is going to give them something which will help them to come through that which they now must endure. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. A woman. Who is this woman? Well, if we go once again to John, then he tells us who this woman is. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. What a great surprise to everyone. John, he says, this woman that is Mary, that is the sister of Martha. And then there comes a moment during this dinner, this feast, this supper, that Mary, she is coming forward. And she has this small but very precious box of ointment. And she breaks this ointment. She pours it on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. that ointment that is dripping down him, his clothing, even down to his feet, as we read elsewhere that she is taking her hair and she is bending down to wipe his feet. And what do we read? We read that this house that is filled with the odor of that ointment, we can imagine that. If you have ever smelled that children, when there is just a little drop of perfume, and then we can smell that very far. And now it is the whole box of perfume that Mary, she is pouring on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can understand that that aroma that is very, very strong within this house of Simon the leper. We can imagine that everyone is shocked. That ointment, we read, that was very costly. We read afterwards that it might have been sold for 300 pence. How shall we give you an idea, children, what that means? 300 pence, that sounds little to us. 300 pennies. Well, apparently in that time, then a day's wage was 1 penny. So then there are how many days in the year? 365 days in the year. There are 50 Sundays, so let's say we work about 300 days. What does that mean? That means that this little box of ointment that was worth a whole year's wages. A whole year's wages. So today here in Alberta, if a man would make $70,000 or $80,000 or $90,000 in a year, that means that that little bottle that was worth today, let's say, about $80,000, then you can imagine that everyone in this house is very surprised. Why would Mary do such a thing? What kind of a person is Mary? Well, we read of Mary elsewhere, and we can see that Mary, she is a very sensitive, she is a very meditative person. We do not read that Mary is a very talkative person. No, there is only one word, actually, that we read in the Bible that is recorded that Mary has spoken. And that was a word that she has spoken in a very, very great need. When her brother was lying in that grave, and when she comes to the Lord Jesus, and she says to him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Aside from this, we read nothing that Mary has ever spoken. But what do we read of Mary? We read that Mary, she is a listener. Mary is a meditator. Mary has a place, the place that Mary enjoyed, that was to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and listen and meditate about his words. Are you, congregation, also such a person? We all have a personality, yes. One is more talkative, one is less talkative, that is okay. But how is it when it comes to the Word of God? Or have we then much to say? Or have we then much to learn? Have we then much to hear? Did Mary realize that the Lord Jesus was going to suffer, that the Lord Jesus was going to die, that he was going to be buried? We don't know that. The Bible is silent about that. The disciples should have known. They were told. But it seems they have taken very little heed to what the Lord Jesus said, because it is still after this yet when the Lord Jesus will serve them the supper, and the disciples, they are still quarreling with themselves who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of Christ. Thus they seem to have taken little heed when they did not understand what the Lord Jesus was saying. That is men. Maybe you do that too, young people. The things that you do not really want to hear, those things you set aside. You will buy an automobile, and your father, he goes with you, and you say, "That one looks beautiful, that one I want." And then your father says, "But you must see this, and you must see that, and you must see that." Yes, but, that will all be okay. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to hear those negative things. You want that vehicle. Oh, that is man. The things we do not want to hear, we so easily set aside. How is that with our life? We don't want to hear that we are sinful. We don't want to hear that we are dying. We don't want to hear that life is short. We don't want to hear that there is a great eternity coming, that we have to stand before our Maker. And what do we do with it? Oh, how quickly we put all these things to the side. How is it with Mary? Does she realize what is coming? We do not know. It could be because to those persons that are accustomed and given by the Lord to meditate upon his word, the Lord is sometimes giving them to enter into the mysteries of his kingdom. And even what may be coming sometimes in the future, there is one thing that is clear. And what is clear, this act of Mary, that is an act of gratitude. For what? Well, children, what has just happened lately? The Lord Jesus has raised her brother, Lazarus, from the dead. And it seems that maybe even this entire supper in the house of Simon the leper, who was probably also cured by the Lord Jesus, is a feast of gratitude. But Mary's deed here that is coming in the foreground, that is superseding, that deed that is revealing what is living in that heart of Mary. When she doesn't speak much, then there is an aroma that fills that whole house. And everyone can know by what they smell what is living in that heart of Mary. Is that of us too? That everyone can know the gratitude and the love that lives in our heart to the Lord. Not from our words, but from our deeds. We have a question in the Heidelberg Catechism. Doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? What doctrine? The doctrine of grace. Free, sovereign grace. Make men careless and profane? By no means. For it is impossible that those who have been engrafted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth works of thankfulness. Grace breaks the heart. Mary, she anoints the Lord Jesus Christ with a heart that is full of love. She cannot resist to express what is living in her heart. But not everyone is happy with this. That is our second point. That is Judas's occasion. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why is this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. If we go to John once again, then we read this. "Then saith one of his disciples," so we read in Mark, "that there were some that had indignation within themselves." But John says, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Thus we read of some, but..." John says, actually, Judas, he is the leader. And then there were a few more among his disciples, the disciples of the Lord Jesus. They have followed Judas. Great danger. There is a hypocrite in the midst of them. They do not recognize him. And with him, they begin to condemn Mary. And they murmured against her. Oh, how near to Christ can the hypocrite be? He can be a minister like Judas, or a preacher of the gospel, a healer of the sick. Probably Judas has done that too. Or it is not an office that gives to us grace. No, when we stand before God, you and I, we have to stand before God together without that office. And now that odor that has filled this house, that was not an odor that was sweet to Judas. No, immediately, Judas begins to think about his money bag. That was a bag, children, that was supposed to be to collect money for who? The deacons do that too. They go around with that bag of money. One of those is to collect money for the poor people. That is the bag also that Judas had. But Judas was not an honest man. No, Judas would sometimes, when no one was looking, then he would take money out of that bag and he would use that for himself. Oh, do you do that too? Maybe you have once taken something that was supposed to be for the house of the Lord, that you have taken that for yourself. Oh, if that is so, you must give that back. If that is so, then you must ask the Lord if he will forgive you. Judas had no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He never had. No, not since the first day that he was called by the Lord Jesus to follow him. He could hide it for a while, this enmity that lived in his heart. But he could not always hide it. there is congregation not one of the disciples of the Lord for whom that things were going the way that they desired. There is not one of the disciples of the Lord for whom things are going in the way that they had expected them to go. They are together looking for the coming of the kingdom of Christ. And it seems it does not go that way. No, it seems to all of them that it is going backwards instead of forwards, that things are being broken down instead of things being built up. Are they glad with that? No, they cannot understand this. It is a mystery to them. Is that not the way of the church of all ages? For whom in that church does it go in the way that they desire? In the way that they expect? For whom does it increase and increase according to the desire of their natural flesh? Not one. And if they have to suffer according to this flesh, then it is also coming against them. There is not one of the disciples. And yet, in all the rest of those disciples, there is what? There is love. There is love. When was that love planted? That love was planted in regeneration. That does not die. It does not die when it does not go according to their desire. Cannot understand it, no. May even have some rebellion against it, yes. But that love cannot die. That is impossible. Peter, when the Lord Jesus speaks about his suffering and his death, Peter says to the Lord Jesus that he would die with him. And we read that all of the disciples, they are speaking to the Lord Jesus that same thing. If it has to go so wrong, then still, the love that is in our heart for thee, that remains. But how is that with Judas? Congregation, that love is missing. That love is missing. And when it begins to go backward for Judas, then there is nothing to make Judas to hold on to Christ. Nothing. When it goes against his desires, so that eventually the enmity that is breaking out into the open. How is it with us? How is it with us, or would it be with us, young people, when we had to suffer for our religion? Would we also reject him from ourselves? That is, each one of us. There is only one thing that is able to make a man to endure, and that is that the love of God has been planted already in his heart. And then he may even forsake for some time to fall away, to fall, but never to fall away. That is impossible. How is it when in the life of God's church, when the Lord is leading that people and he begins to strip away all the foundations upon which they builded, upon which they hoped, so that it goes or seems to go so wrong? How is it then? Do they then leave him? they come here again, and they come here again, and they come here again, and again, and again. Why? Because there is love that has been planted in their heart. Job, he said, will the wicked always call upon God? Job had to suffer. His wife said, curse God and die. Job could not. He could not. Not because of himself, but because of what the Lord had planted in his heart. And Job says, the wicked, they cannot endure. Will the wicked always call upon God? But God's children, they are preserved. Judas, hypocrite. And he comes with his fair speeches. Why, he says, was this waste of this ointment made? It might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor. He hides himself behind a concern for the poor. That is a great duty, a concern for the poor. Duty for you and for me. But see the sin of Judas? It is one thing, congregation, to be a thief. It is more to steal from the poor. That is more. It is even more when, as we are stealing from the poor, we do it trying to pretend to everyone that we are a truly pious and godly person. That is the epitome of hypocrisy. That is lying in the heart and in the actions of Judas. Did that all come in the heart of Judas in one day? No. No. That has been building. That enmity that has been simmering. More and more that is building up in the heart of Judas. And now Judas cannot bear that Christ is so honored. He says it is a great waste. Do you know what word he uses? He says it is a perdition. It is a perdition. That is the word that is used by the man whom the Lord Jesus calls himself the son of perdition. That Christ, the Son of God, should be so honored. Judas is so angry. And with whom is he angry? He is angry with Christ. Did the Lord Jesus point him out? Did the Lord Jesus say, you are a thief, Judas? Did the Lord Jesus say, Judas, you are a hypocrite? No. No. He knew it. But he does not point him out. That is going to come later. But what does the Lord Jesus do? He defends this woman. And when the Lord Jesus defends this woman, we hope to see that in our last thought. When the Lord Jesus defends the woman, then Judas feels, this is against me. Thus he defends the woman. And more, then what does the Lord Jesus do? He begins to speak about his burial. About his burial. And what is happening with Judas. Then Judas says, is this the way to the throne? Is this the way to the kingdom? All this money that is wasted? And the Lord Jesus, who is supposed to be the king, now he begins to speak about suffering, about dying, about being buried. And Judas, he says, I have now had enough. I will have nothing to do with this anymore. I have waited for 3 long years. I was promised the kingdom. that I would also have a place of honor in that kingdom. And look at it. It is all going wrong. And Judas will have nothing to do with it anymore. And it becomes for him the occasion of what? We read it in verse 10 here, just after this history, and Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. Thus, for Mary, it was an act of love. For Judas, it is the occasion of his betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same event. It is not the cause of his betrayal. It is just the occasion of it. The cause lay within himself. Thus we have Mary, and we have Judas. And now, what is it from the side of the Lord? That is our last thought after we sing. 138, 1, 3, and 4. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men. My statutes, why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth, since ye for wisdom do not care? For ye my holy words profane and cast them from you in disdain. 1, 3, and 4 of 138. And Jesus said, Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. The Lord Jesus does not begin to attack Judas, but the Lord Jesus answers the objection of Judas, and he does that with great meekness. But he also does that with authority. What does he say? Let her alone. Is that not a wonder? The Lord Jesus comes to the aid of this oppressed woman. She is under attack for what? She is under attack for a deed that has come out of the love of her heart. And she cannot defend herself. Why not? Well, it is not just one man. No, several of those others they have joined with, so the opposition that is strong. But in a special way, the objection seems to be so right, so plausible. What do you think, children? $70,000, $80,000? Is that really right? That she uses that ointment pour, I mean, it could have been just a drop. It would have the same meaning, wouldn't it? And then that money could be sold. There are so many poor people out there. Yeah. And you say, what should we say? Maybe Judas, he is actually right. Thus it is so difficult. But the Lord Jesus defends Mary. Let her alone, and she will not suffer the wolf to attack one of his little lambs, that is the shepherd of his sheep. And then he explains what is wrong about the objection of Judas. Normally, it is as if he says, yes, yes. Normally, that would be right. When we congregation would spend thousands and thousands of dollars on unnecessary things and make every... No, no, that is not necessary. It may be nice, it may be beautiful in the house of God, certainly. But to waste so much money when there are poor people to be taken care of. No, normally we do not do that. But what does the Lord Jesus say? He says this is an exception. He says you don't realize it, but God has put it in the heart of Mary to do this unto me. And probably Mary does also not realize the full extent of what she has done. But the Lord Jesus, he says, she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. He says, this is necessary now. You will always have the poor with you. You may do them good whensoever ye will. And you ought to do them good. But now there is something else that has to take place. She has done what she could. This opportunity will never come again. And this necessity that also will never come again. Thus for Mary, an act of love. For Judas, an occasion for his betrayal. And for Christ, he says, it is the anointing of my body for my burial. Congregation, what does that mean to us? When that odor of that ointment would this day be smelled in the house of God by each and every one of us, what does that mean to us? By nature, we despise it. Why? Because we have no need. because we have no love. We are more interested in everything in this world that is carnal, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we have no need for this. This is for us no sweet-smelling savor. It is actually, as it was even with Judas, somewhat of an offense unto us. But now grace, grace teaches us something else. Why? Because, congregation, the Lord teaches a man that he has to die. Did the Lord ever teach you that you have to die? But the Lord does more than teach a man that he has to die, because even a natural man, he eventually comes to know that he has to die. But the Lord teaches us also something else, and what is that? That I cannot die. I have to die, and I cannot die. Because I cannot stand before my Maker. I cannot stand before my Judge. And now for a man who has to die and who cannot die, what does the Lord make the death of his Son to such a person? Oh, then the death of that Son of God, when the Lord will reveal him to such a man, woman, boy, or girl, then that death of the Son of God, that begins to become precious. Oh, then we do not despise the death of the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. But there is something more. There is something more in this. Why? Because this congregation is the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the anointing of Christ that is speaking about more than his death. What does it speak of? It speaks about his resurrection. It speaks about his life, does it not? When the body was anointed, that was with a hope. That was with a confession. That is, as we embalm the body today, not that we need to preserve the body, but that is with the confession, the hope, the belief that after some time, that there will be a resurrection of the dead. And now the Lord Jesus, he is pointing to this for his disciples. The Lord Jesus, he is comforting his disciples. What is going to happen to them? What is the place where they are standing? What is coming? The disciples, they are going to be brought very soon into an awful, awful storm. They do not know that yet. They ought to have known. They do not understand it. They have not received it. And the Lord Jesus, he prepares a comfort for them. He has spoken to them about this already in words. He spoke to his disciples several times already, how that the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Thus he spoke about his resurrection before that storm. And now it is not only with his words, but also with this deed, that they may see it before their eyes. We have that also in the baptism and in the Lord's Supper, that the Lord Jesus gives his disciples a testimony before that they are going into this storm, that he is also going to rise from the dead. Then he has himself, as it were, embalmed. He has himself, as it were, anointed already beforehand for his burial, and that the disciples, when they are coming in the midst of that storm, all that they may remember what the Lord Jesus had said, that in the midst of that storm there may be hope, that there may be an expectation, that there would not be utter despair. And Judas, he would interfere with the comfort of God's church. But Christ says, no, you shall not. She has come to anoint my body beforehand for the burial. Oh, how little does the true church of God make use of the comforts, of the consolations of the Lord when they need them the most. In the midst of that storm, how often are their eyes not so holden? How often do they not fear to perish in the midst of the strife? Why? Because they do not see his end. They do not see his purpose. It is true that it is through much tribulation. But why? Is it not that they may enter into the kingdom of God? Is that not the end? Is that not the purpose? When Christ lay in that grave, what did it seem to those disciples? The devil had conquered. Satan had the victory. He is crushed. He is dead. Was it so? Was it so? Our children know that it was not so. How is it with you, people of the Lord? How is it in the strife? Does it seem that Satan has conquered? Does it seem that everything has been turned upside down? Or has sin gained the upper hand? Has the Lord hid his face, it seems, so long that you fear that he is never coming back? Or is it now many days since neither sun nor star has appeared? Is it dark? Is it cold? Is it seemingly dead? Is there, it seems, nothing but rebellion? Do you fear that it was nothing, is nothing, shall be nothing? She has come to anoint my body to the burying. Oh, how sweet the smell that goes forth from this aroma, from this anointing. What do we read in God's word? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. How is it, people of the Lord? Was it not 40 years in the wilderness? But what was the end? Was it not the fulfillment of the promised land? What does the apostle say? He says, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. She is come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Oh, how sweet this savor, this smell, O congregation, is it? Is it for us a savor of death unto death? So it was for Judas. Or is it for us a savor of life unto life? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give to us grace in our hearts? For we are no different than that son of perdition by nature. But when thou wilt change us and give us new hearts, then everything shall be changed. And then it shall be for a great eternity. Bless thy word. Forgive what is amiss and sinful in thy holy sight. Teach thou us from above. Bring us safely to our destinations and with desire in thy house again in this afternoon hour. Help him that goes before us. For Jesus' sake, amen. 1:15-4. O Lord my God, overwhelmed in deep affliction, far from thy rest, to thee I lift my soul. Deep calls to deep, and storms of trouble thunder, while o'er my head the waves and billows roll. 2 and 4 of 115. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.